How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, my Savior, I ask for the Holy Ghost to attend the ministry of the Word now and bless this people with it. Open our eyes that we may see what so few seem to understand, and then help us, Lord, to communicate this. Somehow, this message must reach America. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, God deals with people, and God deals with nations. Don't ever forget that. He deals with persons. There's a judgment day. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, there is a judgment. He deals with persons. But he also deals with nations, and sometimes we forget that Jesus taught us about the judgment of the nations. He will say to the nations on his left hand, "Depart from me, they will be divided." He called the goat nations and the sheep nations. There's a judgment of nations. What I want you to catch up front is that God deals with nations and he also deals with individuals. And the Lord is into the security and the safety of nations as well as persons. This morning our subject is about the security of the nation in which we're a part. And you're going to see in a few moments that there are four reasons, four issues, that if a nation complies with these four issues, God Himself personally will keep that nation safe. Now we're going to go into the personal security issues, because God deals with both nations and people. The security of the United States of America is probably going to be the most talked about subject on the airways, the most printed about dialogue on our media for the next 60 days at least through this election. Because we have learned not just on 9/11 5 years ago, but for decades before that, we realized that there were enemies who intended to terrorize America. And this tyranny, and this tyrannizing, and this terrorizing, should I rather say, is not new, and it is not over. And so if you're a Christian nation, as a nation, we need to ask ourselves, why is God allowing such terror to happen in America? Obviously, any thinking, reasonable person wants to find a solution to the terror. The danger is that in seeking for solutions, we should seek the scope of human thought, as opposed to the thoughts and the wisdom and the instructions of God. So my subject today is not political except in its biblical application, but it is an important subject because America does not have to have terrorism and does not have to be insecure, because God has declared that on certain terms He will prevent the terror. Now I want to say that again. that on certain terms, God says He will prevent the terror. He will. And we have learned that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We have learned that except the Lord keep watch, except the Lord keep watch, they watch in vain. And we have amassed, and properly, I suppose, should, one of the greatest military mights in the world. But let me tell you something, that if we lean on it and not the Lord, we will fail. I want you to see what it takes to get God to do something to save America. Then I'm going to switch from America, and I want to talk to you about what it takes to get God to personally protect you, which I delightfully have come to tell you He wants to do. He wants you protected. He wants you safe. Safety is of the Lord. But the first thing that we really must do today is to look to the Scripture and see what does it take to secure a nation, to prevent terror from happening to a country such as ours. What is the Bible basis for national security? Are you ready to go? Here we go. Let's go to our notes right now. The basis of national security. First, I'm going to take you to the Scripture. Then I'm simply going to show you exactly and precisely what the Scripture says about this. Here we go. You shall not oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God. For I am the Lord thy God, your God. Now watch this. And for this reason, for wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Now watch here. And ye shall dwell in the land in safety. Now I understand that this is a perspective that will not much be highlighted in the next 60 days. And that could be the very demise of America. Every American needs to understand what the founding fathers understood of this country. You know what that is? They needed God. And they need to obey God. The founding fathers knew that. All right, well, let's look at the next verse. The land shall yield her fruit, and you will eat your fill. There'll be lots, there'll be plenty. And you will dwell therein in safety. So let's look at what it takes to have a country that God personally says He will defend. Number one, it takes a people who do not oppress one another. You shall not oppress one another. Now, it's similar to depress and repress. It's oppress simply means that we cannot be a people that looks up out for ourselves at the expense of putting down other people. And that the pursuit of selfishness must not so much overcome us as that we deal with each other on the basis of our self-interest and not love, which is to choose the best for the other person as well as yourself. And so, there cannot be oppression in a country. God will not protect oppressors. Now, I'm going to take a very short side trip politically and scripturally for a moment. This is true of every nation on this earth, regardless of its political structure. It is most assuredly evident in a democracy or a republic such as ours, where the people vote. So I want you to catch this. There are two pillars of democracy. And without either of these, democracy cannot survive. Now think about it for a moment. Two pillars that support a democratic system. Here they are. Number one, virtue, the absence of evil. Number two, intelligence. Virtue and intelligence. Now, let me just back up for a moment. I want you to catch this crystal clear. In a democracy where the mass decides the direction of the country, what do you suppose will happen if the mass becomes evil? What if the mass loses its virtue? What if the mass turns into a bunch of oppressors? What if the mass is evil? Then in the election, the evil will vote in the evil. Do you follow that? It is that simple. There is a critical mass somewhere. There is a tipping point. There is a tilt level where American freedom is misused to the point where it reaches critical mass and there be more evil than there be righteous. And then they go to the polls and cast their ballot not based on virtue, not based on intelligence, but on self-profit. And at that point, we will have, unless there is a revival from heaven and the people once again become righteous, the course of the nation will be set, from which there will be no return. It will face ultimately anarchy. And then another form of government will have to take over. God gives the kind of government to a nation that the people of that nation qualify for. Say, well, evil leaders in evil countries. They have evil leaders because the people, the leaders simply reflect the condition of the population. So God says, you don't oppress one another. And then it says, but instead, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. That means that instead, you will hold yourself accountable for how you treat people. And now it's interesting because God puts this phrase, for I am the Lord your God. What's he saying there? He says, because you're going to give an account to me. All right. Number three. You shall do my statutes. There are certain statutes. Statutes are just another word for laws. There are certain moral laws of God that absolutely must be complied with. And if we cease to live according to the laws of God, God will not protect that nation. Why should he become complicit in protecting evildoers? The laws of God are not up for trade. They're not up for arbitration. They're not up for vote. They are absolutes. So the third thing, God says, you will do my statutes. And the founders of these United States strove to make sure that the laws of the land were based on the laws of God and this Bible. Times have changed, but watch now. The fourth thing, it says, you must keep my judgments and do them. Now, this word judgment is a legal term. It means to, in the legal sense, adjudicate, to make a legal judgment or decision. It does not mean judgment as in to cast down and damn to hell forever. You will keep my legal reasonings. You will keep my style of adjudicating. You will keep the principles of law that I have, and not only keep them on the books. It is not enough to keep the laws on the books, but watch this, but you have to do them. And if a nation will have a judicial system that complies with the laws of God and his judgments, his way of making decisions about good, bad, best, and of judging criminals, etc., every aspect of law, then watch this. This, God says, will cause you to dwell in your land in safety. He will scare off the terrorists. God will fight for that nation. And in fact, I think I put that verse up here. Here it is. Look at this. God shall fight for us. Now, I'm going to pause here just for a moment because we have a predicament in the Christian church. And I can only speak for here in America because I'm not informed sufficiently about other parts of the world. We have what I would call, are you ready? Here's a phrase, unbelieving believers. We have atheistic Christians. Let me describe an atheistic Christian. This is a person who, in theory, believes in God. By the way, that's a very smart thing to do anyhow. That just proves you're not an imbecile. If there's a creation, there's a creator. That simple. These people, in theory, believe in the existence of a God. But watch this now. On the practical side, they do not see God involved in dealing with the nations or with people. Their view of God is he's somewhere off in the wild blue yonder in some austere being who isn't functional on a day-by-day basis on this planet. And this, my friend, is grave error. So we've got to the place now, as a nation here in America, where why would we call on God? Because we don't think he either is interested or capable of doing something. The founding fathers, listen to David Barton. It's been great lately, I don't know, but David's been, his tour of the Capitol has been on playing hours and hours and hours on television lately. It's amazing. And he's telling the facts. He's telling the truth. David Barton will take you down into where the Supreme Court used to meet, which was basically a prayer room. And they prayed for hours. And now in mass, we have the theories about God, but we're more interested in our horses and our armaments than that the Lord keep watch. God says, listen to him now, I will fight for you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were picking people to be on my side in a fight, my first choice would be God. My second would probably be, I don't know, maybe Paul or John back there. My first choice would be God. Because if God be for you, who can stand against you? What America needs right now is God to fight for her. Because God hasn't been lately. Watch the scripture. Yeah, let's do this one first. There's none like another God of Jeshurun. What does this God do? He rides upon a heaven. What? Why? To help you. And in his excellency on the sky, the eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. And he'll give the order. Destroy them. And as a result, Israel, or whatever country, then shall dwell in safety alone. The need in America right now to deal with security measures, national security measures, is we need God on our side fighting for us. And if he doesn't, look at this. If you will not listen to me, and if you will not do these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, and your soul abhors my judicial reasoning, my adjudication principles, so that, and this is the reason why we reject his principles of adjudication, so that we don't have to keep his commandments, but instead you break my covenant. Look at this now. This is what I will do unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. I will give freedom to the terrorists. I will give the okay for you to be consumed. I will not withhold the bombs that will consume, put out your eyes, blind you, kill you, and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed. All the profit of all your industry shall be in vain, and your enemies shall get the advantage of it. They will own the stock market, their investments. They will become the financiers in charge of your country. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. And they that hate you shall rule over you. And you will flee when nobody is pursuing. This is a message I wish America could understand. These are really tough days. The election coming up, and there aren't very many. There aren't choices anymore. We're choosing between evil and more evil, maybe. We have a choice of different evils. That's what we got in front of us, folks. Why are we facing this predicament politically? I suggest to you that there must be. And this is not going to happen in the industrialized church. Let me make this really plain. Here's what Jesus said. He said to Peter, remember? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church today must be built by Jesus. Church today needs to be what Jesus says church should be. Church should do today what Jesus said church should do. Now watch this. In contrast to that, we have the industrial, I called it, it happened a couple of weeks ago, the industrialized church, the institutionalized church. This is what they do. I wonder, let's check the market and see what does it take to get people to come to church. And then we will provide what the market wants, and that's how we'll get people to church. So the church, the industrialized church, is not being built, designed by Jesus. It's being built and designed by the market. I suggest to you this is a fallacy of no small significance. If we want to have New Testament results, we're going to have to get back to New Testament principles. We're going to have church where Jesus is the head, and we don't do anything Jesus doesn't say to do and confirm in His Word. America needs to understand that if the people will quit being oppressors and get the fear of God and receive the commands of God, the laws of God, the statutes of God, and learn how to make legal decisions based on the thinking principles of God, that America will have the greatest ally, the ally she once had. The founding fathers viewed God as their ally in the founding of this nation. And my friend, nothing short of this will end terror. Nothing short of this will bring national security. Will somebody say amen to that? Would you just stop and pray right now? Would you just right where you are? God, help us as a nation to realize that we need you. And we need to get rid of being such pompous, successful people. Stop oppressing one another. And get back our consciousness, our accountability to you. And know that your laws are forever settled. And that your judicial reasoning is what the greatest need in America is. Help us, God, to be part of this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, those few remarks were basically in view of present national situation, but this is really what I really want. This is really going to be fun. In spite of what the nation does, in spite of what protections the nation offers, as it should, government, military, etc., here's some really good news. God wants you safe in spite of what's going on nationally. Uh-huh. When that judgment of nations takes place, by the way, the saints are taken out of the nations first. All right? But let's go now to understanding how God is our personal source of safety. He wants every child safe, every mother, every father. And so let's learn, first of all, that God is committed to your safety. The very God of peace, isn't that a wonderful name for Him? Sanctify you wholly and pray your whole, watch this now, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and your soul and your body, look at this now, be preserved. Be preserved. Blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Since He that called you is faithful, He is also going to do this. He commits that He wants to preserve your spirit, your soul, and your body. In fact, look at this. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, now watch this, and keep you from evil. God's people should not live in fear of terror of any sort. And I want you to see why. So here we go. Number one, God is indispensable for your personal safety. We mentioned this verse earlier. Except the Lord build the house, they labor and build in vain to build. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen wake but in vain. We need God, and God is committed to your personal safety. Oh, that America knew that this applied to them as well. Secondly, God is contemporaneous when it comes to safety matters. He is contemporaneous. Contemporaneous means he is right now involved with us at the time we need safety. Look at this. God is our refuge and strength. Now watch this. He's a very present help. He is a very present help. Contemporaneous. He is right minute by minute, if not second by second, with us to provide safety. He is our refuge and strength. This is not, he's not some plan he's going to give us safety later on. He is a very present help in trouble. And what's the benefits of this? Are you ready now? When you know this, therefore, we will not fear. Go ahead, I want you to say that together. We will not fear. Oh, goodness sake. How could you? If you know that God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help. Whenever troubles, he is very present at that precise moment. So we will not fear. Now watch this. Even though the earth be moved, whether by bombs or by, what do you call, earthquakes or anything else, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, it doesn't matter because we will not fear because God is contemporaneous. He is, and when it comes to our safety, he's right here, right now, and whenever the trouble is, he's right there, right then. In fact, thirdly, he promises that he will never fail. Be strong and of good courage and fear not. And don't be afraid of the enemy. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee, go with thee. Now watch this. He will not fail thee. Is that ever good? He will not fail thee. He will not. He will not. He will not. He will not fail you. Whoa. This is pretty good safety net. You know, you ought to be able to walk out of here. If we quit right now, you ought to be able to walk out of here with your feet 3 feet off the ground over this. God's promise to every single one of you is he will not fail you. Look at this. And he will not forsake you. He's not going to drop out of the picture on you. When it comes to safety, that's why you can be strong and of good courage and not be afraid. Because he goes with thee. He's your accompanist and he will not fail thee. Look at this scripture. As I was with Moses, he said to Joshua, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, and I won't forsake thee, so be strong and of good courage. Now listen, we've already learned here that God is not a respecter of persons. God hasn't got some blessing for Joshua that he doesn't have for you. These words are as written clearly to you as they were to Joshua. The same way, this is my example, I was with Moses. I will be with you. I will not fail thee, and I won't forsake thee. And then here's an exciting truth. God is greater than any and all opposition that could come against us. What's good to have God on your side if the enemy is greater? Well, look at this. Look at what Jesus says. I'm not only going to give you eternal life and you will never perish, but watch this. No man shall pluck you out of my hand. There ain't anybody that can take you out of the hands of God. Wow. And Jesus went on to say, my Father, which gave these followers to me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one, the next verse says. So God is greater than all the opposition. God's protection is consistent. His ability to protect you is not for the next 20 minutes while you're in the building or the next 20 hours. His protection for you is consistent. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. Now watch this. I love this. I'm going far too fast now for the weight of the scriptures in front of us. So let me just kind of cool my jets here a bit. Look at this phrase. He that keepeth thee. I don't know about you, but I could sit down and have a blessed contemplation for an hour on that. God is keeping us. You got it? And he that keeps you won't go to sleep on the job. There will be no surprises. There'll be no moments when he's not given the proper attention to you so that something sneaks up unaware. His protection is consistent. And it's designed, this knowing that you are so protected by God that your personal safety is such a big issue with him, it is to help us not lose courage. Look at this. Look, first of all, look what God says. Let's drop down here. I am thy God. I will be with thee. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Okay? I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There's 5 I wills in there that would really be good to memorize. 5 I wills from this verse. I am with you. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with my right hand. Now watch this. And because of this, you will not have to be dismayed. You will not lose courage. You will not despair. You will not be dismayed. You will not lose hope. It is this fact. Oh, beloved, if I could do one thing this morning, it would be to somehow be able to attach these thoughts of God's protection of you, to attach them somehow to your mind, to your ears, to your eyes, somehow so that you would never forget how committed he is to your safety. This curse. I'm Lord thy God. The Lord thy God, the Lord God will help me. Now watch this word, therefore. Okay, now watch this. God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. This isn't just courage, but you will not be confused. You will not be alarmed. You will not be out of peace. Because you are aware that God is with you and he is there to help you all the time. So you'll not be, you know, listen to this scripture. This is wonderful. He that puts in his trust in the Lord shall never be confounded. Never be confounded. You'll never be amazed. You'll never be intellectually incapable. You will know what's going on. You will know the facts. You will be able to make judgments. And so this comes from knowing that God will protect you. And then God's protection goes on and on and on and on. He isn't going to protect you for a while and quit. Let's take another look at this scripture. The Lord shall, oh, isn't this a wonderful word? Preserve. Thy going out, preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Now, how long is he going to do this? From this time forth and even for evermore. God careth for you. God careth for you. Remember that song? Through sunshine or shadow. God careth for you. How long? From this time forth and even forevermore. He's never going to quit protecting you. Now, this is really good news. His ability to protect us is not limited by our ability or our limitations. David, remember Goliath, prevailed over the Philistine with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and he slew him. But look, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Did it without a sword. Now, I'm a contender that, you know, people, David had a sling and five stones. I think that's great. David didn't have a sword, never proved a sword. And you may have doubts about your inability to protect yourself, but whatever you've got plus God is more than capable of slaying every giant. David didn't have a sword, but he's the one who won. Look at what Asa said. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. Lord, it's nothing for you to help, whether you have a whole lot of people helping me, or even if it is those that have no power. Help us, Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name, we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let no man prevail against thee. And watch this, because in this battle, who did the smiting? The Lord. That's why we want the Lord on our side. And he's not limited. I mean, we could be people that have no power, but God says he will help us. Well, just who is it that God protects? And this is kind of critical, because I've been laying out before you the promises of God to protect you and some of their applications, but who of us qualify for that? And certainly there are qualifications. Number one, those who follow his wisdom. Listen to this. Whoso hearkeneth unto me, listens to the wisdom of God. This is the chapter on wisdom, chapter 1 of Proverbs. Shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. So that's why it's not that we do nothing. God will do his part. We have a part to do. Our part is to discover the wisdom of God and do it. And if you do the wisdom of God, his promise is that those who do his wisdom shall dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil. Now, this is really good. Let me see if I can illustrate this. If you follow the wisdom of God, you will discover that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If you follow the wisdom of God, you will know that more crime happens in the dark than it does in the light. So if you have the wisdom of God and you know that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, you will limit your transport, your driving, your coming and going to light. They don't come to the light because their deeds will be reproved. This is a simple. You see how the wisdom of God, if we follow it, has embedded protections in it. That's why we learned on Wednesday night that we are to withdraw from people whose lives are disorderly. And in fact, this Wednesday night, we're going to pick up on that whole disorderly thing. What is an orderly life? We are to withdraw from people who are brothers, who are Christian brothers, but they are disorderly. Why? Because that's the wisdom of God. So, those who follow His wisdom get protection. Secondly, those who love Him. The Lord preserves all them that love Him. Now, I want you to catch this, because this is the whole issue with us, that we are lovers of God, right? And the Lord preserves, I want you not to miss this word, all them that love Him. We could take off so many directions on that one, but that's who gets the protection of God, because God isn't going to let anybody that loves Him go unprotected, unpreserved. And thirdly, those that obey Him, those are the righteous. Those that are righteous. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. He holds up the righteous. Who are the righteous? Oh, those who do His will. In fact, look at this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He, God, delights in His way. And even if he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, because the Lord upholds him with His hand. Anybody who's obeying God will get God's protection. Well, how does God protect us? And this is really kind of exciting conclusion to this. At least it is for me. Because I've got a couple motivations this morning. Let me tell you as transparently as I can what they are. I want everybody within the sound of my voice to realize that that your protection is one of God's primary interests. I want you to realize that God wants you protected, your family protected, your children protected, your heritage protected, your body protected, your mind protected, your spirit protected. God wants you safe. The second motive I have this morning is for not that just to be an academic information that you leave here with. But I want you to walk out of here without fear. No more fear. Not so you can go out and be silly, because then you'll lose your protection. So that you can walk confidently with your chin up. You can look the world right in the eye. You will fear no evil, none whatsoever. So I want you not just to catch this academically, but I want you to have the sense of safety the rest of your life. Hallelujah. That's what I want for you. All right. Nudge the person beside you and wake him up in case he happened to nod off. Oh, y'all doing okay? I mean, I'm having a good time up here. I can't speak for you, but because there's so many thousands of reasons to love God, this is just one more. Well, how does God protect you? And the scriptures outline a number of ways. First of all, He will strengthen you. If you're in a situation that requires more strength than you have, and this could be moral strength, spiritual strength, emotional strength, physical strength, God will strengthen you. The Lord stood with me. What a testimony this is. And strengthened me. The Lord will give you strength in your moment. Remember what Paul said. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. So stop worrying about whether or not you will be able to any situation. I mean, you could be walking into the exam room and need strength. Anybody here give a witness for that? I don't know about you, but When I went into the exam room, yeah, I needed strength, but I also needed wisdom, and I needed a whole lot of knowledge and a whole bunch of other things too. Isn't it wonderful that God? You got to go into a business deal. Where do you have to go? One of the ways God will protect you is by strengthening you to meet whatever need you face. Secondly, He promises to uphold you, and I love this. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. He upholds the righteous. Oh, I wonder if I put this verse in. Let me see if I did. I did this because this is one of my favorites. The eternal God is thy refuge. And I love this phrase. Underneath are the everlasting arms. It was a startling discovery for me years ago to realize that God would let me have dark times so that I might realize that He is the light. It was shocking for me to discover that God would take me through fiery furnaces, not to destroy me, but to take out impurities. That He takes you through deep waters, not to drown you, but to cleanse you. And there are times that He lets you fall so that you might realize that underneath are the everlasting arms. We're looking to be caught or helped by all kinds of things, but let me tell you, beloved, underneath are the everlasting arms. You are safe. You're secure. And if you fall, you won't be utterly cast down. Why? Because the arms are there. That's why the hymn writer wrote, "Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe in His gentle breast. There by His love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest." These are troubled days outside these walls. But it doesn't have to get through to you. You don't have to be insecure. You don't have to feel vulnerable or unprotected. Because the living God says He'll look out for you. He will uphold you with His hands. With His hands. I'm trying not to be emotionally overcome by the realization that everybody here this morning has access to this wonderful person of God who promises not only to strengthen you, but to uphold you. Ever face a situation that seemed bigger than you? Ever face a situation where you felt emotionally whipped? The Lord comes. He strengthens you and He upholds you. Ever wonder if you could keep your sanity? Ever wonder, your mind bothers you so much? comes to uphold you. He will never let you fall. He promises to keep your feet. He will keep the feet of his saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. See, our strength is necessary but inadequate. Our wisdom is necessary but inadequate, because we need God, and he promises to keep the feet of the saints. What does that mean? It means two things. It means the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If God is keeping your feet, he will never lead you where his grace cannot keep you. If God is keeping your feet, he will never lead you into trouble, never lead you into destruction, never lead you into a trap. He says he will keep the feet of his saints. He will keep you on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, that's why God says in Proverbs, ponder the path of your feet. That's why your feet will never go in a red light district. I don't know a contemporary phrase for that. Your feet will never take you where evil people lurk. Why? Because the steps are ordered by the Lord. You see, man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? I don't know about you. Well, I could tell you one illustration recently that Dr. Paul could bear witness to. But my wife experiences this in driving. She will drive where she wouldn't regularly, habitually drive because something is leading her elsewhere. And the greatest illustration, one of her employees was driving with her one day, and they were crossing Matthew's Bridge. And the employee was saying, well, how do you know when God's talking to you? She said, well, she says, it's just kind of a sense. In fact, right now he's telling me to change lanes. Now, what a weird thing to say. My wife pulled out of the lane into the next lane to her, and just when she got over there, the truck that was in front of her dropped a whole, pallet of grass fell off the truck. Would have been right in her path. I want to listen, beloved. We've got this going for us. You see, if the watchman, if that's all we do is watch, we are in vain. But if the Lord keep watch, our steps. That's why you want to go by the wisdom of God, so that you'll have the protection of God, because the wisdom of God will keep your feet from going certain places. And God will, other times when there isn't a scripture to tell you to do or not to do. I was with Doc out on the ranch, and I was watching. He does it all. I just watch. He's the amusement, and I'm the amused. He's the doer, and I'm the audience. And he's showing me the feeders for the deer. Yeah. Big, I don't know, 5-gallon buckets? 50-gallon buckets hanging up in the air and on a winch, and he's lowering them down and filling them up with feed and hooking them up and explaining it to me. So I'm watching him lower this thing down, and it's right above me like this. And I can't explain it except to say, God, I just started moving away from it like this. And at that time, the chain broke. And that 50-gallon, I don't know how much weight was in it, 200 pounds, crashed to the ground right where I was standing. See, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. That, you know, I I experienced this, and I want every single one of us to walk confidently in the Lord because God's promised to keep our feet. Teenager, listen to me. When the Spirit of God gives you an impression of about driving or walking or where you're going, you want to hearken unto Him. Because what He's doing is He's keeping your feet in the right path. Let me tell you another application of how He keeps your feet. He keeps your feet from being tricked by others or stumbling. He keeps your foot from being taken. He keeps your feet out of snares. Now, if you know much about hunting, and I don't, by comparison, when some, I could get lessons from many of you, but I do understand from when I was young how to set a snare to snare a rabbit. And you anchor the wire to a plant strong enough, and it's like a little lasso, and you find the path in there, and this little round wire is around there, and he runs through, it catches on him, and it tightens because it's the lasso. You get snared. That's how they snare animals, one way. There are traps. But here's, listen to you who have children. I want you to take great heart in this because God, you know, you worry about what's going to happen to your children in upcoming days, weeks, or months, and what's going to happen, and what's going to happen to your children in America in the future. I tell you, parents, so you can trust your children with God. He will keep their feet from being taken. You and I do our job now, raise them up, nurture them in the ways of the Lord. You can trust them because, and you can do this with confidence because God will keep your, He keeps your feet. Another thing He does, He actually prevents evil from happening to you. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you? And look at this. He will keep you from evil. Isn't this delightful? The Lord, one of His ways is protecting us, is to keep us from evil. And then He protects us by guiding us on our way. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Why? To keep thee in the way. An angel's a messenger. You have angels. God has angels. Sometimes He commissions them to act on your behalf. Mostly the Holy Spirit works in this capacity. He goes before you to keep you in the way, to bring thee in the place that I have prepared. And then God also protects us by overcoming temptation. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, look at this, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. There are temptations that God prevents you from even having to deal with. Look at this next verse. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Sometimes He keeps them out of temptations, but if we get in them, He knows how to get us out. That's one of His ways of protecting. Look at this. There's no temptation taken you, such as is common to man, but God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So He helps us. He protects us by showing us, delivering us from temptation. Then He provides refuge. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Place of refuge. Let me see if I put another verse in here. Yeah. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Oh, didn't we sing this? We're going to sing it this morning. The name of the Lord is strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. There are times when the form of protection you need is a hiding place. That's what a refuge is. Ever needed a hiding place? And some escape, some refuge. Look at this verse. Shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest. You'll have like a river in a dry place, and oh, this song, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And those of us who haven't lived in Iran and Iraq and Saudi Arabia with 135 degrees temperature in the summer times don't know how important it is to get in shade. Well, maybe Floridians know a bit. My old mother, God bless my mother. I have flashbacks right now, her leading and singing. Oh, Jesus is the rock in the weary land. Weary land, weary land. Jesus is the rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. And God says to you, there are times when all the other protection devices that I have for you are not sufficient and you just need to hide for a while. You just need shelter. You just need refuge. You just need to recover. You just need to be able to relax in a safe zone. And God says, He'll provide that refuge for us. Then there are times when He shields us. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. A shield stops the darts of the enemy from getting through. We're living in a day of electronic shields. And let me tell you something. God promises that there's stuff coming at you. You don't ever have to worry about, because God says, I will be a shield about you. I will shield you all around, up above, every direction. Nothing will be able to get through to you, because one of His ways of protecting you is to shield you. And then He protects us by overcoming the counsels of the wicked. These evil people may take counsel together against you. But God says it will come to zero, to naught. Watch this now. They may speak words against you. Oh my goodness. I don't know if you're getting this. I don't know if you've ever suffered this. Have you ever had people speaking against you? I mean, the tongue is a fire set on course of hell. And people can speak against you. And God, now this is one of the ways God protects you. Look what He says. They'll take counsel together against you, but it will come to zero. Look at this now. They will speak words against you, and those words shall not stand. Oh my. Stop worrying about what people are saying about you. You'll get embittered. You'll get upset. You'll get off on the wrong track. Listen, God stops the words that are spoken against you. They will not stand. How do we know this? How is it possible that those who counsel together, how do we know their counsels will come to nothing? How do we know that words spoken against us will not stand? Because God is with us. Oh, would you raise your hand up to Him? God, You're with me. Oh, God, thank You. Because God is with me, the counsels will not stand and the words spoken will be broken. And then God protects us also by delivering from fear. That's an interesting protection, because some fears are real and some are only perceived. But whatever the case, God protects you by keeping fear out of your life. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Why does God want fear out of your life? Because if we have fear in our life, it has the capacity to damage us. And in a whole bunch of different ways. It could damage you by destroying your confidence. And if your confidence is destroyed, you wouldn't do what you otherwise might do, or say what you otherwise might say, or minister what you otherwise might minister, because you lost your confidence, and you lost your confidence because you had fear. The major cause of heart attacks, according to Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, do you know what causes heart attacks? Now, if you go to the doctor, the medical scientists, they will measure cholesterol and all that stuff and point out the blockages. No doubt about that. That's the physical stuff. What caused the physical stuff to get there? Well, in some cases, it might be what you ate. And yet, you know, I heard one preacher say he buried as many fat people as he did skinny ones. And as many skinny ones as he did fat ones. What causes chemical changes in the body that ultimately lead to a heart attack? According to Jesus, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Looking after those things that have come to them on the earth. Fear causes. Some of you are looking at me a little bit unbelief. So let me just slow down here. We've got 10 minutes. I only got two little ones coming up. Remember the illustration of the lie detector? What do they call that machine? Polygraph machine, right? Now, they can hook you up to a polygraph machine and ask you a series of questions. And if you lie, they can tell. Because chemical, temperature, whatever, physiological changes take place in the body when you lie that are measurable scientifically. So they know you're lying. Now watch this. You commit a spiritual act, which is to tell a lie, and it produces a physical result. Do you follow that? I want to suggest to you that lying is not good for you. Because if it can be measured physiologically in its effect on your body, imagine that times gazillion lies we tell. Bitterness causes chemical changes in the body. And so does fear. And that, you know, when I prayed for you this morning, and I didn't know everyone that was going to be here for sure, but when I prayed, I thought, I want these people to leave church today with a new level of confidence that excludes fear. I want you to leave here spiritually, mentally, emotionally healthier than when you came. And my prayer for that was based on if we could just together spend these moments and realize how protective God is of us. Oh, listen. He says not a hair of your head will fall. You see, we're talking about God. We're talking about the only person that visits the funeral of a sparrow. Nobody else does. But there's not a sparrow that falls from the tree or the sky he doesn't know about. He wants fear out of us. And one of his ways of protecting us is to get rid of the fear. Because if he allows us to keep the fear, we get the damage that comes from the fear. Surely, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his wings, his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. No, not for the terror at night, or the arrow that flies in the daytime. You will not be afraid. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And then he protects us by giving us answers. Answers to questions we have. You know, I don't know that there's a question God doesn't have an answer for. I don't think there is. I didn't say that right. Let me restate it. I don't think there's a question that God doesn't want to give you the answer to. Look at what the scripture says. And this is God speaking. He will call upon me and I will answer him. Now look at the context. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God, sometimes when you have trouble, trouble may come. It has, as its intricate nature, to have destructive things about it. And God says, I'm not going to let that happen to you when you're in trouble. You're going to call on me, and I will answer. That's why I happen to believe becoming a Christian is the smartest thing anybody can do. And then lastly, these are the only ones I could find in Scripture. I spent the day yesterday looking. God protects you by giving you rest. Now look how the Scripture ends. The Lord only makes me to dwell safety. This is about safety. And part of your having safety is being able to lay down in peace and sleep. Another scripture says, he giveth his beloved rest. I am persuaded that God's ability to protect reaches us even when we're not conscious. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. There's the fear thing again. You will lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. I believe God wants us all safe. Well, let me restate it a little wiser. God wants us to realize how safe we really are. In the Midwest, they often have prairie fires. We have a lot. We've had a lot of them right now, not in the prairies, but in the mountains. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres this summer have been destroyed. One of the greatest things about terrorism is all they got to do is get in the country and strike a match certain times a year in certain parts of our country, and they can do big damage. But in the prairies, Midwest, a fire would sweep across the fields of grain, destroy everything. Ranchers had to, back in historic days, they had to get their families in their buggies and pulled by horses and flee. Fire would come through and burn all the barns down, burn the house down, burn everything. This happened to one such family, and they had fled, the fire had passed, and they returned to their homestead to see what damage and if there's anything left. When they got there, the farmer and his wife, the rancher and his wife, arm in arm walked across the barnyard, and now there were just charred remains where the fence posts had once stood. And the house was gone, and part of the frame of the barn was still there. And with great tears, they were just walking across the barnyard, and the farmer looked down, and he saw one of his old faithful hens. And he reached over with his foot and nudged the charred remains of the hen. And his shock when the hen fell over, underneath the hen was a whole bunch of live baby chickens. Beloved, under his wings were safely abiding. I can't tell you how much I want you to receive this message and to realize that you are living under the shadow of the Almighty. And you can say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my strength, my fortress. In Him do I trust. Who's it for? Those that follow His wisdom. Those who love Him. Those who obey. Righteous. So you don't have to worry about what's happening around the world, because you walk in divine protection. Will you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.